But my name is Gus Becker, and I live in Wenatchee, and I'm a wildlife biologist. I got my degree many, many moons ago at the University of Idaho, and after I graduated, I did wildlife biology work. I moved over to Oregon and did in 1979, 80, and 81, I did research on spotted owls. It was just when the spotted owl was becoming a big issue. So I did research in Oregon and on the Olympic Peninsula on spotted owls and flying squirrels. And then I did 2 years of research in around Mount Rainier National Park on pine martens. Which was really that was really fun because I got to spend year round 5 days a week. I would go out and track and trap and track pine martens, including in the winter, which was a lot of fun. Thank you all for being here. I currently work for an organization called the Grizzly Bear Outreach Project, and what we do is education and outreach on grizzly bears, but we don't just work with grizzly bears. We also do education on wolves and cougars and black bears. And tonight I'll be talking about both black bears and grizzly bears, primarily grizzly bears, and then I'm going to start out with a little bit of background on a quick look at the bear species in the world. Then we'll talk about grizzly bears in Washington. Then I'll talk about their biology, their behavior. I'll talk a little bit on how to tell the difference between a grizzly bear and a black bear. And then near the end of the slideshow, I'll talk about avoiding conflicts with bears, and what things to do when you go hiking, or things to do at home if you live in the in a rural area. And just before this evening, I went through my records and looked at what they call a class one sighting of a grizzly bear, and I wanted to find out if there were any grizzly bears in this area. And since between 1995 and 1991, there were 20 Class 1 sightings. And a Class 1 sighting is an ID by a biologist, a photograph, a hair sample, which they can take DNA from, a track that's obvious grizzly bear track, and a... So, and I went through my records, and I found that in 1991, a mother grizzly bear and a juvenile grizzly bear were seen at Moore Point, which I got my map out of Lake Chelan area, and we're right here, right over here is Holden. And then Moore Point is just across the lake right there. So in 1991, somebody photographed a female grizzly bear with a young of the year. Okay, so I'll get started. I'm gonna show you a quick video of two grizzly bears play fighting, and then I'll go to the slideshow. How do I dim the lights? Is it right over there? This is just a quick 15-second video of two grizzly bears play fighting up in Alaska. Let's see. There's always someone that's an expert. Good. Mm-hmm.
full screen.
Oh, you want the...
There you go.
Well,
yes. They're dancing. No, you lead.
Punch, punch.
How old are those bears?
I think these are probably 4 to 5 years old. And they're probably siblings.
How big are they?
I'd only be able to guess at how big they are.
Take the guess.
What?
Take the guess.
The one on the left is probably 600 pounds. The one on the right is probably 500. Okay, let's close that.
Can we see
that.
It again?
What's that?
Can we see it again?
Really? Yeah, okay. My employer actually, his name's Chris Morgan, and he filmed these bears. He actually did a PBS Nature special on bears. It was called Bears of the Last Frontier. It showed about 2 months ago.
How far away from him was he when
he filmed? Oh, I don't know, but the bears up in Alaska, they'll come quite close to you.
If you smell good. You smell like fish.
About 20 minutes for that.
Come on.
Well, at least they make the little loader thing colorful.
How close have you been to a bear, a grizzly bear?
I've only seen him from a helicopter when I was flying over. When I was flying over Glacier National Park in Montana. Is it view?
Slideshow. Oh.
Is it under? Oh,
slideshow,
okay.
Right?
Slideshow.
You'd think I would know all this.
That's okay.
Okay.
No.
No.
All right.
Pushing.
Let me see.
Space thing.
Hey, just don't ask me again, and then
yeah.
There you go.
I lost some print here. Okay. So as I mentioned, we're an education and outreach organization, and we go around talking about grizzly bears and other endangered species. We're funded by the U.S. Forest Service, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Conservation Northwest, REI, et cetera, et cetera. So before I start, I wanted to talk a little bit about some misconception that people have about bears. So, when we're little, we think of bears as cuddly and fun, and then somewhere as we're growing up, we go and we watch a movie where, there's the man-eating grizzly bear. And the reality is, the bears are neither of these. They're somewhere smack in the middle. they're not cute and cuddly little teddy bears, and they're not man-eating monsters. As far as the North Cascades, we've come across people that believe that the grizzly bears are being deliberately brought into the Washington state, and that's not true. Some people actually believe that the bears are being brought in at night in Black Hawk helicopters. there really are people that believe that the government is bringing in grizzly bears. The truth is that there's a population of grizzly bears north of the border in Canada, and they have a very large home range, so they're moving down into the Washington state. I mean, we do have grizzly bears here. There's an estimated 5 to 20 grizzly bears in the North Cascades, and I'll talk a little bit more about the area where they live. But the only grizzly bears coming into Washington state are coming down through Canada. So there are 8 species of bear in the world, and 6 of them are endangered. The giant panda, the sloth bear, the sun bear, which is down in Indonesia, the Andean bear, which is found in Ecuador and Peru, the polar bear, the Asiatic bear, brown bear and grizzly bear. Brown bears are the same as grizzly bears. So in Alaska, if someone says brown bear, they actually mean grizzly bear. So, but these are the 8 species. That's, of course, the grizzly bear. So 200 years ago, the grizzly bear range was the blue part you see on the map. They went all the way down into Mexico. And there were an estimated 50 to 100,000. Today, there's only about 1,000 grizzly bears left, and that's only 2% of their former range and 2% of their former numbers. So they've been very, very diminished over the years. This photo is actually taken in Chelan back in the 1800s, and this is just a photo of some fur trapper with his grizzly bear and his mountain lion and his coyote skulls or skins. So what's causing the loss of the grizzly bear habitat is, of course, human introduction of roads. It used to be, unregulated hunting and commercial trapping. But by far the number of roads that we have that intersect, go across our forests is probably one of the, it just allows humans to get in, and the greatest predation on grizzly bears is through humans.
Where was this picture taken?
Let me see. I am not sure, but let me see if it says here real quick. I don't know. I didn't take the photo, I'm sorry.
Would that count as 4 sightings or 1 sighting?
That would be 4. Okay, so are there grizzly bears in the North Cascades? The North Cascades is an area, it's almost 10,000 square miles, and it has a lot of bear habitat. There's another corner in Washington State up in the Selkirks which has grizzly bears. Those are known and seen quite frequently, and they're radio collared. The Selkirk grizzly bears are, coming from Idaho and Montana, and they're well known, but in the North Cascades, in over 10,000 square miles from Canada down to I-90, is a huge area, and 40% of it's wilderness area. So it's really rugged and remote, and we don't really have an accurate number of grizzly bears. The estimate is 5 to 20. We do know that there used to be lots of grizzly bears in Washington State. And historically, from hunting and trapping from the Hudson Bay Company, we got records that in this span of about 30 years, from 1827 to 1859, almost 4,000 grizzly bear hides were shipped out of Washington State. So this is from records, and the Hudson Bay Company took meticulous records. Those guys were, British, Scotsmen, and they were kind of anal about their record keeping. So there were always grizzly bears here in Washington State. In 1975, the grizzly bear was listed as threatened by the federal government, and then the state of Washington went a step further and listed the grizzly bears as endangered in the state. Due to this, there was a grizzly bear committee was formed to research how can we recover grizzly bears, how can we bring them back, and they identified what they call six recovery areas in the U.S. and these are the areas where they're trying to mostly through habitat management. They're trying to recover grizzly bears or protect what bears are left there. So this, of course, is obviously Yellowstone, the Bitterroot Mountains in Idaho, the North Cascades Recovery Zone. It's actually the largest of all the six, the North Cascades Zone. We have a lot of good grizzly bear habitat. This just explains a little bit about the area. It's 90% federal or state owned, which is probably a good thing if you're going to try to recover bears. It's big. It's really big. And I'll talk a little bit about the Forest Service. The Forest Service last year and this year, they're actually out right now trying to count the grizzly bears. And last year they set up like 200 what they call hare traps. And what they do is they take an area that's like 12 feet by 12 feet, and they take a strand of barbed wire and they run it between four trees, and it's about knee high. And then in the middle of this, they stack up a bunch of sticks and they put this really foul-smelling scent. It's kind of what like hunters use to track different animals. And they put this scent in the middle of this hare snare enclosure. And then any bear that comes to investigate the scent has to go either under or over the barbed wire. And when they go under or over, the barbed wire snags hair. And so then they leave these traps out there for about 2 weeks, and then they go back and they collect hair off the barbed wire. They take the hair, put it in the little bags, and they send it to a lab where they do DNA testing on them. And so they did that last year, and they're doing it again this year, in all areas of the North Cascades Recovery Zone. Last year, if you're curious, they did not find any hair samples of grizzly bears. The only thing that I would say about that is that they're, even with 200 snare or hair traps out, it turns out it's like less than 1% of the area that it's so hard to survey an area this big. So even though they didn't find any grizzly bears or any hair samples, they're hopeful that this year it would take them a long time to be able to cover the entire area. So this is just some of the sightings of grizzly bears, locations where they've seen grizzly bears. These were the confirmed 20 cases, and the one that I mentioned just up the lake at Moore Point in Lake Chelan. Okay, so let's look at bear biology and behavior. So grizzly bears prefer high elevation and meadow areas. Both these photos show really good grizzly bear habitat. Again, this is good grizzly bear habitat, meadows and open areas. Grizzly bears are very shy. They're really intelligent. They're smart animals. And I'll show you a little bit later how smart they are when they find out where your food is. And as far as the denning and breeding is similar to black bears. It's about the same. Den in October. Bears have incredible sense of smell. They smell 9 to 10 times better than your dog. So I've seen videos of bears that have climbed up 2 stories up to get just like 3 or 4 apples sitting on someone's deck. They can smell apples from like, 100, 200 yards away. I don't know how they do it. Bears run really fast, so you can't outrun a bear, and don't try to outrun a bear. And you've probably heard the joke about the 2 hikers that went hiking. They came across the forest ranger that said he was coming down the trail and said he saw a bear up the way, and that, to be careful. And he gave him a quick lecture about bears, usually eating, the slowest and the weakest. And so one of these guys stopped and got his tennis shoes out of his backpack, put his tennis shoes on and put his hiking boots back in his backpack, and he started walking up the trail with his partner. And his partner was, really worried about the bear. He's like, he asked his friend, you don't seem very worried. These bears can run really fast. Like the ranger said, they run 30 miles an hour. Aren't you worried? And he said, no. All I need to be able to do is outrun you. Unlike black bears, the female grizzly bears don't breed until they're 5 or 6 years old, which means that there's not a lot of reproduction fast. Like a black bear will breed at 2 to 3 years old. The cubs stay with the female 2.5 to 3.5 years. And again, when the female grizzly bear has cubs, she won't breed. So the average female mates every 3 to 4 years. And then, unfortunately, half her cubs will die before the first year. So grizzly bears don't reproduce, or if they do reproduce, there's a lot of factors that keep them from... Their population does not grow fast. The young, when they're born in the den, weigh less than 1 pound. And that's basically about the size of a ground squirrel. But by feeding on their mother's milk, a year later, they're 80 times heavier than that. The bears, black bears and grizzly bears, learn everything from their mother. The male does not have anything to do with raising the young. So the male's just a reproducer, and the females are the ones that raise and care for the young. How far do they roam? It's pretty amazing. The male grizzly bears will roam up to 200 to 500 miles. And that 500 miles is like driving from Wenatchee, Washington to Boise, Idaho. That's 500 miles. And they're not territorial, so the bears will overlap their habitats. But they move around. Again, grizzly bears are evolved in open meadow areas, and black bears, you're more likely to find a black bear in dense forests. As far as what do the bears eat, grizzly bears are omnivores, which is surprising. So 90% of their food is actual is vegetable matter. It's like grasses, berries, roots. Only 10% is actual meat. Here's a look at some of the diet of a grizzly bear. So 10% of their diet is animal parts. So this is really surprising because the grizzly bears aren't exact. I mean, they don't have like a can't remember the stomach of a cow for eating green hay and grass. There's about over 100 plant species that grizzly bears will eat. This is a look at some of them, some of their favorite food. In the spring, when the bears emerge from their den in the spring, they go for the succulent grasses. Grasses and horsetail. This is where they'll be in the spring. They'll also eat deer or elk that have been killed in avalanche shoots, or if a coyote or a wolf has left a carcass, the bears will eat the meat of that. They don't eat little Tweety birds. Those are not bear food. Again, in the spring, you'll find bears around creeks eating grasses. In the middle of the summer, they move to ants and mushrooms and roots. If you come across the log that's been ripped open, that's a pretty good bear sign. Grizzly bears have claws that are as long as your finger, and their grizzly bear claws are designed for digging. So this is a grizzly claw, and it's as long as my finger, and this is a black bear claw, and these are for digging and these are for climbing. The black bears are good tree climbers. The grizzly bears are good diggers. And that explains the hump on the back. The hump on the back of a grizzly bear is those muscles that are developed for digging. They eat ants, insects, bees, and of course in the fall they go for the berries. And sometimes they eat too many berries and they get the bear runs. All right.
There's no bear bells in that.
No bear. Yeah. I'm surprised there's not a hiking shoe or maybe a Holden t-shirt in there. So all right, I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, getting along with bears, hiking, things to do around your house. So, you know, we live in bear country, so there really isn't a bad bear, but there are bad humans that do things that cause problems. So just living around bears isn't a problem. So the problems with bears start when they find out that there's free food somewhere nearby. Once a bear finds out that there's free meal, it they're not dumb and they're smart and they realize that they're going to come back. That little yellow thing is a bear-resistant container that you can buy at stores for when you go camping. You know, the most of the problems with bears that you find about, that you hear about in Leavenworth, Whistler, Missoula, Lake Tahoe, it's all trash problems. And once a bear finds your trash, it just keeps coming back. There are ways to keep your food. If you're hiking, you can hang it in a tree. Don't cook near your tent if you're in bear country. So once a bear becomes food conditioned, that's when all the problems start. The bear starts to associate food with humans. And then if a human comes and gets between the bear and its food, that's when you have problems. Things that attract bears, of course, garbage, bird seed, fruit on the trees, compost, barbecue grease. This is a black bear just climbing out to go after somebody's bird seed. So, we try to tell people that in the summer months there's plenty of food for the birds. So you really don't need to put it. I mean, it's nice to see the birds, but in the summer months, you're not really helping the birds because there's plenty of nectar and fruits and things to. The best time to put out your bird feeders is in the winter months, when the bears are denning and the birds actually need the food. The grizzly bears actually rarely kill cattle and sheep. They do occasionally, but they're not. They don't primarily go after cattle and sheep, unlike what a lot of people have said. And most of these problems, like with the cattle ranching, is around the Yellowstone area. There are things that you can do if your electric fences work really well. Because the bears sense with their nose, they'll come up to a fence, and if they're, for example, if they're trying to get into these beehives, their nose will touch that electric fence, and they get a shock, and they run away. This is good for fruit orchards too. And once a bear finds your food and it becomes a problem, there's only two things you can do. You can relocate the bear, or the Fish and Game Department will come in and have to euthanize the bear. Okay, so hiking and camping, hunting. It's always great to hike in a group. The larger the group, the better, because you're usually talking, making a lot of noise. I hike a lot with my dog, and even though he usually walks 10 yards ahead of me, I'm sure he'll let me know if a bear's coming around the corner.
But he's faster than you.
He's really fast.
Question. I've heard that there's no reported attacks by bears on hiking groups of 6 people or more. Is that true?
That there are known?
That there are no known attacks if there's at least 6 people together.
I haven't heard that statistic, but I would think that's pretty accurate. I don't know for sure, but a large group, is the bear's going to hear you and smell you before you get to them. So that's a good thing. I get nervous. Well, actually, was it yesterday they saw the bear and I ran into you?
Today.
Was that today? That was today? Yeah, when I was hiking back, I was by myself. And they had just seen a bear up the trail here. And I got really nervous, so I started whistling really loud so the bear would know I was coming.
2 days ago, it was stopped right out here.
Because the bears really don't want. They don't want to meet you as much as you don't want to meet them.
You know, the traditional response is for a black bear, fight back, be as aggressive as possible. For a grizzly, play dead. Is that true?
Yep. Yeah. I think I have a couple slides on that. Yeah.
What if you
So when you're camping, you know, keep your camp clean. Don't leave smelly foods out. It's always a good idea, and I admit not to doing it as much as I should, but cooking, you know, 100 yards away from your tent site and hanging your food. Bear-resistant food containers. So now, what do you do when you actually come across, you're actually face-to-face with a bear? Most encounters can be avoided by just being smart. So, there's always someone, and you always see the paper, you know, from usually Yellowstone National Park, where somebody has gotten out of their car and walked right up to a bear to take a photo. I mean, really, I think, you know, people in Washington State are a little bit smarter than that. So, the four up in the right-hand corner, the four reasons that you might want to be wary when you come across a bear. If you surprise it, if you come across a bear with cubs, if you find a bear on food, or a human-conditioned bear that's coming into, it's just used to coming into a certain garbage site every night. The best thing to do is avoid bears. If you can, if you're hiking on a trail, if you can turn around and wait, you know, a half hour for the bear to leave the trail. If you come across a fresh pile of bear scat, you know, those are all things that, warning signs. You know, if you can avoid the bears and knowing that they're there. So what you mentioned, there's the black bear and the grizzly bear, there's probably two different ways to avoid a bear encounter. And with a grizzly bear, you really want to play dead, cover your neck, leave your pack on. If you've got a backpack, leave your pack on so it's not going to claw you in the back. With black bears, it's better to intimidate them. Stand up, make yourself big, be loud. Most of the time the black bears will leave you alone. Again, if the bears perceive you as not being a threat, 90% of the time they're going to leave you alone. So, just what are your chances of actually having a bad bear encounter? They're pretty low. And in the United States, 80 people a year are killed by getting struck by lightning. Something like 10 or 12 people are killed by domestic dogs every year. And actual human bear encounters are 1 to 2 people a year in the United States. So chances of a bad bear encounter are pretty low. Again, just some statistics of other things that are more likely to hurt you. Okay, so how to tell the difference between grizzly bears and black bears? So bear trails and tracks are probably one of the better ones. Broken logs, this is how you're going to tell if you're in bear country, if there's a bear around. Grizzly bears love to they'll flip rocks over because they're looking for insects and moss. So if you come down the trail and you find rocks flipped over, it's probably a grizzly bear in the area. These are an area, a grizzly bear will spend hours in one area just digging up roots. And so this is a huge meadow in the high country, and the grizzly bear has been there digging up roots for food. Their day beds after a grizzly bear's had a good lunch, he'll go off and like a dog, dig himself a little bed and take a nap. Other signs of bears are the the bear scrapes, the berry scat, other bear sign that you'll know you're in bear country when you come across these. Just a little bit of a comparison in size between the grizzly bears and black bears. So, IDing bears, the difference between a grizzly bear and a black bear, the color is not a good identifier, because grizzly bears can be black and black bears can be brown. So we don't rely on color, but we rely on certain features. The face is one. Grizzly bears have a more of a concave dish face and short rounded ears. They also have a shorter, broader snout. Black bears have a longer, narrower snout and longer, pointy ears. The other way to tell the difference, of course, is by their tracks. And the easy way to tell is the grizzly bears have... Remember, I said they're. You can see the claw marks higher up in the black bear, smaller, littler claws. And then the grizzly bears have a shoulder hump, although that's not always really reliable, depending on the angle that you're looking at the bear. And I have some handouts about how to ID a bear here by its track. There's a really good way if you take the large toe and draw a line to the top of the pad and then extend the line out past the little toe. It's a grizzly bear if the little toe is 50% or more above that line. If the little toe is 50% or more below that line, it's a black bear.
Stop the bear to check that.
Yeah. You could ask the bear to stop and hold the paw. Yeah, can I see your paw for a minute? But you know, there was a recent grizzly bear sighting last fall, a hiker, and I have a handout and the photograph. Last fall a hiker took a picture of a grizzly bear, and he got that picture, went all over the news, because this is the first grizzly bear class one sighting in the North Cascades in like 15 years. So if you come across a track or get a photograph of a grizzly bear and report it, you'll be famous. All right, so let's test your bear ID. Is this a grizzly bear or a black bear?
Black bear.
I think you're right, but let me double check. I just want to make sure I give you the right...
I can tell by color.
Okay, so that is a black bear. Long pointed ears and long snout. What's that? Grizzly bear. You can see the hump. And the short ears, you can barely see the ears. Yep. This is a little bit tougher.
Black
bear. Black bear. That's
black
bear.
Looks like a grizzly.
That's a black bear.
Black bear.
That is a grizzly bear. And you know, that's a tough one, because you know, I think when we see bears, we're never going to get the... Well, hopefully you're not going to get the front. Hopefully you're not going to get their face, you know, this close. So, it's tough. It's really tough. What's that? That's a baby grizzly bear cub. Grizzly bear, yep. It's got a hump. Black bear, yep. Look at those prominent ears. Grizzly bear, yeah. That's just looking at the hump, the big hump on the bear. That is Bigfoot horribilis.
That looks like King Kong.
Bigfoot horribilis holandensis. Rumored to live around Holden. Okay, so if you do, you know, we encourage you, if you're out hiking and you come across bear sign, to please report it. I will just show you a few more pictures and then we are done. I will take any questions. You know, we did a survey of
how high can they reach?
That's a good question. They're big. Well, when they stand up, they're like 8 or 9 feet tall, so they can reach really, really tall.
Yeah, really good at basketball.
They can catch a basketball with one hand.
Yeah. So, you know, we did a survey about grizzly bears and whether people really wanted grizzly bears coming back into the North Cascades. We found that about 79% of the population in Washington favors grizzly bears coming back. I think that's a good thing, but we're a long way from getting a large amount. It would take to recover the grizzly bears above there from the 20. If there's 20 left, to get to just 100 grizzly bears would take 8 to 15 years. It's a long time to get to be able to recover the grizzly bears. And I think that is all I have. And these are just some of our sponsors. And I will, if you can turn on the lights, I'll take some questions. And thank you very much.